Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
In the book Animal Farm, it was deemed that four legs are good, two legs are bad. In terms of traffic and transportation, however, our lives are dominated by four wheels, even in this city. However, two wheels are far from bad. Bicycling is good for your health, good for the planet's health, and as a cyclist myself, it's much more fun than driving. But like all good things, one must proceed with caution, and that, as a new study has shown, means biking with a helmet and using the designated bike lanes whenever possible, at least according to the city. A new study performed by various city agencies has found that 74% of fatal bike accidents involve head injuries, and 97% of those involve cyclists who are not wearing a helmet. Bicyclists are in the news for some other reasons this week. Some critical mass protest bike riders who the NYPD had accused of parading without a permit were acquitted because the judge said four bicyclists do not a parade make. Also, the city announced that many, many more miles of bike lanes are coming soon. So I'm very happy to have with us this morning New York City's Commissioner of Transportation, Iris Weinshall, and she will be joined later in the hour by Transportation Alternatives Program Director Noah Butnick, a strong advocate for bicycle riders. Commissioner Weinshall, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Good. Let me start with the safety initiative that I guess you did together with the Department of Health, the Parks Department, and the NYPD. Where'd that come from?
Well, you know, we have really been studying the whole bike issue in New York City. We have talked with and met with the advocates over the years, and I think that, or I know that, the idea for the study was really a collaborative effort between the city administration, the advocates, and the public advocate, Betsy Gottbaum. So all of us basically got together and decided that the time was right to do this study. And the city agencies that you mentioned, Parks, Health, DOT, and the Police Department, were really the city agencies involved in the study.
All right. And were those numbers about right? 74% of fatal bike accidents involve head injuries, and 97% of those involve cyclists not wearing a helmet?
As well as nearly all bicycles' deaths, 92% occurred as a result of clashes with motor vehicles. The other interesting statistic that we found is that most bicyclists who unfortunately were killed were males, 91%, between the ages of 45 and 54 had the highest death rates. So there was a lot of information in the report. And one of the other interesting factors of the report, which is sort of going to help us going forward, is we were able to look at where the most serious injuries occurred, where deaths occurred, and we were able to cluster that information. And let me just point out that that's very important going forward, because we're able to look at those neighborhoods and look at that information and sort of figure out, well, why is it happening there, and how can we sort of work on those neighborhoods to make them safer for bicyclists.
So let me ask you about that gender statistic, which is very striking. Are men bigger risk takers in the way they bicycle, or are they just the predominant numbers of bikers out there?
You know, I think you pose a very interesting question. I don't know what the answer is. I guess maybe that's more of a sociological / psychological question. Are men bigger risk takers when they're bicycle riding? I see a lot of women riding bikes as well, so I don't think it's just men riding bikes out there. But I think that's an interesting question and one that we're going to want to explore further as to why there was such a high percentage of men who were either killed or had very serious accidents.
What are some of the raw numbers? How many people got killed riding bicycles in New York City last year? Do you know?
Let me see. I'd have to look at the report, which is in front of me.
And I'd be curious to know how that...
Well, last year, the number of people who unfortunately were killed riding bikes, I think, was in the 20s, maybe 24 or 22.
And do you happen to know how that compares either to pedestrians killed or drivers killed?
Well, let me just say that over the last few years, we've had a marked decrease in the number of deaths in the city of New York involving both pedestrians and motorists. I don't know, you've probably heard the mayor speak about this. He speaks about it very frequently. And so the numbers continue to go down, and that's a statistic that we're rather proud of here at DOT. The number of bicyclists who unfortunately died in 2005 were 24, but the year before, in 2003 and 2004, were 18. But if you go back further in 2002, it's about 23. So the number sort of hovers. Let me just point out, though, that in 1999, there was a record number of bicyclist deaths, and that was 40. And that was very alarming to the agency.
And did something happen in that year to, did change come as a result of that 40, or did that 40 take place for a particular reason?
We don't know. We just think it was an aberration. It was one of those things, you know. Brian, we track data all the time here at DOT, and, you know, we would like to believe that, more people have, the data also shows that more people are bicycle riding. We hope that more people are bicycle riding in a safe manner. And maybe that led to the number coming down.
We will take phone calls for New York City Transportation Commissioner Iris Weinshall. Calls from bikers and anyone else at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. We'll also be adding a bicycle advocate, Noah Butnick from Transportation Alternatives, to this conversation in a few minutes. Staying on safety for a sec, do you think bike lanes provide a kind of transition area where it's safer to ride? Is there evidence of that?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that the report highlighted. Clearly, people who bike ride in bike lanes, and remember, as you know, Brian, there are three levels of bike lanes. The level one bike lane, which is separated out by a barrier, level two, where we have very distinct markings, and level three, where it's not as secure. Clearly, riding in bike lanes is a much more safe environment for bicyclists, which leads us to the reason why the city is now committed that we're going to add over the next 3 years 200 more miles of bike lanes in the city of New York. Of course, falling into one of those three categories, but that's one of the reasons why we did have, I might point out, the study found that we had one fatality in a level one bike lane, but that's unusual, pretty much unheard of. But clearly, riding in bike lanes is a much safer environment.
So here's our first email from a listener who writes, I ride my bike as well, and a million miles of lanes won't save bicyclists unless the lanes are enforced. Unfortunately, as we all know, the police don't like bicycles. Well, whether that's a generalization or not.
Let me just say that the person who was most helpful with this report from the police department is Chief Scagnelli, and I know he's a bicyclist. He rides his bicycle all over the city. So I don't know if all the police hate bicyclists or hate bicycle riders.
But to get really more to her point, she continues, I ride up 8th Avenue from the Williamsburg Bridge to 60th, and the bike lane is used for cabs, truck deliveries, and pushcart guys. So she sees an issue of enforcement.
Well, you know, enforcement is always a positive thing. It's always something that we would like to see more of here in the city. You know, the police, when they can, when they're able, they do try and enforce these rules and regulations. You know, one of the things that we announced as well that we're going to be instituting around the city is a new signage program, Share the Road. It's going to be a new sign that's going to be placed on bike lanes all over the city to advise motorists, truckers, cab drivers, buses, that these lanes need to be shared with bicyclists and people need to obey the laws. You know, but we always have to keep in mind, you know, New York's a great city. Everybody has tremendous needs and uses of the roads. I would like for all folks to obey bike lanes and bus stops and, you know, not double park, but, you know, we don't live in a perfect society. And I think it's incumbent on all of us to sort of be aware of our environment and be aware of where we're riding our bikes and where we're parking our cars.
Terry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with New York City Transportation Commissioner Iris Weinshall.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I wanted to find out, you know, in a broader sense perhaps, any thought is ever given to, and this isn't just for bicyclists, but it's also for pedestrians, to doing things like backing off on some of the avenues of the Baltimore lights, which are the staggered lights that trip in sequence so the cars can kind of build up ahead of steam and keep going. Excuse me. And also on the bike lanes, and another thing on the avenues would be reintroducing on these avenues two-way traffic. If you want to do a little experiment, go down to 3rd Avenue between 23rd Street and, say, 4th Avenue or St. Mark's. Excuse me. Walk around where there's two-way traffic on 3rd Avenue and then go above 23rd Street where it becomes one-way, and the feel is totally different. Or go over to 2nd Avenue where it's one-way and there are the sequential lights. The feel is totally different.
In other words, you find the one-way streets more dangerous because cars feel more empowered to speed along.
As a bicycle ride, absolutely.
Although, my understanding, and I'll get the commissioner's thought on this, of the sequence of lights down one-way streets is that it's supposed to hold car speed down because you're going to have to stop every block if you go faster than 30 or 35 or whatever they're set to.
The one-way avenues, and we all know people go a lot faster than 35.
But you're going to hit a red light if you do that. And so the sequencing, I thought, was to some degree to keep the speed of cars down. Commissioner?
I think, well, first of all, you're absolutely right, Brian. It is to keep the speed of cars down. But let me just point out, in the borough of Manhattan, and in most of the major arteries in the city of New York, we have the lights in a sort of sequence. We have a rush hour sequence, both a morning and evening rush hour sequence, and we have a during the day sequence. Now, all the lights in Manhattan are computerized. They're run out of our traffic management center. And our goal is to, keep the traffic moving at a certain pace. And so, as I pointed out, in the morning we take into consideration those avenues which are going downtown and which are trying to get into either the Central Business District or into Lower Manhattan. Uptown, our goal is to get as many people out of Manhattan as possible using a sufficient speed, to get folks and to keep people moving. As for the one-way streets versus two-way streets, we have found that one-way streets work more efficiently here in the city of New York. And it's safer. It's much safer because you're avoiding turns, cars turning into pedestrians, cars having to make various turns. One thing that we would like to see is to be able to, where we have overcapacity on some of these one-way streets, is to sort of narrow the roadway, maybe add some more green space, some green streets. And we've done that in numerous neighborhoods throughout the city. I happen to live in Brooklyn, and we have a number of one-way streets, and we have narrowed the road. We've put striping in because we think we have overcapacity and cars tend to speed. So we're trying different things around the city, but clearly one-way streets are safer. They add for less conflict, and, you know, it's just something that in the city of New York we think works best.
All right. We're going to take a one-minute break, then continue with New York City Transportation Commissioner Iris Weinshall, and we will also bring in Noah Butnick, a bicyclist advocate from the group Transportation Alternatives, and more of your calls. And we'll find out why some bike advocates are actually a little bit skeptical about helmets, certainly helmet laws. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you may have received the latest WNYC e-newsletter in your inbox on Tuesday afternoon, the one with the subject line that says, Brian Lehrer's Got Issues. Well, what we have is this year's edition of our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, examining 30 issues relevant to the November elections, and we're inviting your input. The e-newsletter has a link where you can suggest topics for 30 issues in 30 days, or if you prefer, just email your suggestions to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Please put the word 30 issues in the subject line. The e-newsletter will do it for you if you do it that way. All right, we are speaking with New York City Transportation Commissioner Iris Weinshall, and joining us also now to talk about bicycles and other vehicles in New York City is Transportation Alternatives Program Director Noah Butnick. Noah, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Commissioner.
Hi, how are you, Noah?
I'm good, thanks.
And I gather that Transportation Alternatives was involved somehow in this safety initiative?
We were. About a year ago, as the number of cyclist deaths mounted, cycling groups from all over the city got together and formed a coalition, and this groups represented commuters, racers, weekend riders, even bike messengers. And we presented a plan to Commissioner Weinshall and Chief Scagnelli. And one of our top requests was to take a serious look at bicyclist crashes and fatalities. And we're very happy that this study has come out. It's a very big step, important step.
And so what do you think you contributed to it that's really the kind of the advocate's agenda?
Well, I think that from the start, we've done a lot of organizing to really show how many New Yorkers ride bikes and how important cycling is to New York City. It's not just a matter of being an inexpensive way to get around, but with all of the health data that's coming to the fore in recent years, the number of New Yorkers who are obese and overweight is 50%. There are 1 million New Yorkers who have asthma. 750,000 New Yorkers have diabetes. And you know, while cycling's not a panacea, it certainly contributes to improving the conditions that contribute to all of these health problems, on top of helping people save money, getting people out of cars, so helping the people who have to drive get around a little faster.
Now, I understand that while the commissioner considers it obvious to recommend that all bike riders wear helmets, and I gather there's even consideration of a helmet law for bikers like there is for motorcyclists, you have some other thoughts about helmets.
Well, I certainly don't disagree with Commissioner Weinshall, and I don't want people to think that Transportation Alternatives is anti-helmet. We're certainly pro-helmet. We encourage all bike riders to wear helmets all the time. I do. Every time I get on my bike, everybody in our office does. But there's a couple issues that come out of proposed helmet legislation, and one is it the best way to get more people to wear helmets? But then taking a step back from that, what is the best way to improve traffic safety, the safety of cyclists, of pedestrians, even of people who are driving and riding in cars? And at the same time, what's the best way of encouraging more people to ride bikes? So it's it's not as simple as telling cyclists to put on a helmet and that'll solve all the problems.
So you're afraid of throwing up barriers to bicycle use?
Indeed, yeah. A helmet requirement in cities around the world has resulted in decrease in riding, and that's certainly something that on its face we have concerns about. But also, the more people who ride bikes, the safer it is, and that's something, a trend we've seen in New York City. Over the last 10 years, daily bike riding has increased 50%, but the number of annual bike crashes and fatalities has gone down 40%. So as more people ride bikes, drivers become more used to looking for cyclists and driving safer around them, and the net result is less crashes.
But even if
Brian, can I just sort of interject something here?
Commissioner, go ahead.
This report was very comprehensive, and I think Noah would agree, and I think many of the advocates biking advocates would agree that this was sort of a benchmark, a watershed report for the city of New York. I think, Noah, you pointed out to me that day that, you know, this is probably the best bike report that's come out in the United States.
Yes.
I think that, you know, I think what your listeners have to sort of comprehend and understand, and I'm sure they will, is that, you know, the helmets was one very small part of a very, very comprehensive report. Noah's absolutely right. We talk about the benefits of people riding their bike, and he's absolutely right. There are people with tremendous health issues in the city of New York. We also have to keep in mind that, you know, bike riding is an alternative to either getting in your car or using mass transportation. It's a great way of getting around, it's an efficient way, and it's an environmentally correct way of getting around the city. Third and most importantly about this report, it pointed out to us where we have to do work in particular neighborhoods because we saw clusters of accident data that we were not happy with. And finally, the commitment by the city to put in 200 more lane miles of bike paths. And we announced that day that pretty much people, once we finish this network, will be able to bike ride from Tottenville, Staten Island, to Westchester or Long Island on safe, efficient bike paths in the city of New York. And, you know, yeah, we did talk about accident data and we did talk about helmet use. And I got to tell you, I have a husband who's a avid bicyclist. He rides all over the city.
Whose name happens to be Chuck Schumer.
Exactly. You know, there's never a time he doesn't go out and I just make and check sure to make sure that he's got his helmet on. Because, you know, he very often is riding on bike pads and not bike pads. So I'm so concerned about his health and safety.
And by the way, Commissioner, I wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't. I try not to identify professional women by who they're married to.
Well, that's okay. Look, I'm very proud of my husband, but I'm more proud of the fact that, you know, he's an avid bicyclist in the city of New York. I got to tell you, if you think that the bike advocates are calling me all the time, you don't want to be in my household when my husband gets home from one of those 30 or 40 bike rides he takes, commenting to me on various things he's seen on paths and not seen. So it's good to have sort of a member of your family who sort of firsthand is living this experience. But let me just point out that, you know, from the city's perspective, we just don't want to focus on one very small aspect of this report. This is a major undertaking, a major commitment by the city of New York regarding bicycling and safe bicycling in the city. And by the way, the report also deals with what motorists need to know in terms of sharing the road. Noah's right. As more and more people bike ride, motorists will become familiar with their behavior and what motorists have to do vis-a-vis bicyclists around the city.
I said I don't like to identify professional women. I don't like to identify any women by who they're married to unless there's a specific reason. But Noah, I once spoke on the show to a bicycle advocate, and I wonder if this is Transportation Alternatives' position, that there was some dismissal of the idea of developing extensive networks of bike lanes because the larger goal, this person said, was to get bicycles so accepted as part of the normal traffic flow that separating them in bike lanes that often aren't enforced anyway would become beside the point. Is that your position?
No, it's not. That's a position that's associated with a group of cyclists who are known as effective cyclists, and they kind of carry the mantra of same road, same rules, and they expect cyclists to ride in the flow of traffic. To I don't know if they expect cyclists to ride at 30 miles an hour with the flow of traffic, but you know, that's their view of the world. And when I think of my model cyclist, I honestly I think of my mom because she really likes to ride her bike, and she comes to visit me a few times a year and goes on various organized group bike rides around the city and really enjoys it, but she would never think of just getting on a bike and going on some errands with me like I do on a regular basis, because she would look at the streets and she would say, this is crazy, you know, with a lot of riders around me I feel comfortable, but you know, just if it's the two of us or just me, she won't feel safe in traffic. And so to think that that cyclists will be safe or ride without having bike lanes or traffic calming or signs or greenway paths, I think counts out a lot of people who want to ride bikes but really feel much more comfortable when there are bike lanes on the street.
I can use myself as an example of that because when I can, I live in Inwood at the very northern tip of Manhattan, and I work here at WNYC at the very southern tip of Manhattan. And when I can, I bring my bike on the subway into work in the morning, and then I ride home, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful ride, you know, up the length of the west side of Manhattan. But there's no way I would ever do it if there was not so much dedicated bike path up the Hudson River, which is, I think, a wonderful accomplishment of the city over recent years. It would just be impossible.
The numbers of cyclists who ride every day that we've looked at over the last 5 or 6 years since the West Side Greenway has opened show that there's been a corresponding increase in bike riding to the opening of that bike path. So it's to say, if you build it, they will come. If you create safe space for people to ride bikes, you'll encourage more people to ride bikes. There's a tremendous latent demand for this.
My guest on WNYC, Noah Butnick, Program Director for the Bicycle Advocacy Group Transportation Alternatives, and the New York City Transportation Commissioner, Mrs. Schumer, and Fred in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Fred.
Hi. I just heard this week that a new study this month, and I believe it was out of Great Britain, finds that bike riders who wear helmets are more likely to be hit by a car. The study found that motorists will pass 3 to 4 inches closer to a biker wearing a helmet than their non-helmet wearing counterparts. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Commissioner, go ahead.
Well, you know, I'd love to see the study. Ryan Russo, who's our new director of bike and ped program, I'll have him go online and try and get it. But I would be sort of amazed at that statistic. I just think that when an individual comes into conflict with an 1,800-pound vehicle, you want to make sure that your head is protected. And at our event, you know, Dr. Frieden talked at great length about the issue of, you know, if one gets hit and you fall through the air and you sustain trauma to your head, the likelihood is that that's going to be a very serious, if not life-threatening, incident.
Noah Butnick, you know about this study?
From Great Britain?
Yes.
Yes, it's been passed around the email the last few days.
Do you buy it?
Well, it's certainly a good conversation starter, and it showed that people who wear helmets, drivers drive closer to cyclists wearing helmets. It also showed that drivers give a wider berth to cyclists with long hair. So it certainly shows that...
I think they tested women wearing big wigs,
yeah.
Right?
But I think that really what this speaks to is the behavior issues of bikers and drivers, and really prompts us to look at how can we develop more respect, how can we develop more awareness between bikers and drivers. And one way that we're working on this, I'm happy to say, is that the Department of Transportation and Health, Department of Health, the Police Department, as well as AAA and Transportation Alternatives and the coalition of bike groups that we've been working with are working on a public awareness bike safety campaign. And I hope I know that this will go a long way towards getting the message out to all bikers and drivers to respect each other and follow the rules.
But
of the
let
road.
Me ask the caller. Fred, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Why do you raise it? And why, for that matter, do you think this professor, whoever it is in the UK, did it? Are you trying to make a case that it's actually less safe to wear a helmet than not?
No. I understand that if you get hit by a car and you have a helmet on and your head contacts the pavement, you need that helmet to save your life. My concern is that if you're riding without the helmet and you have that 3 to 4 inches and the car clips your handlebar, that's going to make you go over. So are you opening yourself up to more accidents by wearing the helmet as opposed to you're more likely to have and if you hit
I understand.
Protect
yourself in the event of an accident as opposed to make an accident more likely. Boy, I don't want to trust that driver's split-second judgment for my part to see me without a helmet and swerve to avoid me. But it's an interesting study, and I should mention that a number of people have emailed us in the last few minutes before we took your call about that study, so there's a little groundswell of people who want that information out. Commissioner, let me put this in a slightly bigger context. The Times yesterday had an opinion piece by Carolyn Curiel from their editorial board suggesting a combination of congestion pricing, like they have in London now, that's charging drivers to come into the central business district, and what they have in Paris and Chicago, which is adding more pedestrian walkways as well as bike lanes to encourage people not to drive for short trips. Are you considering either of those things for anywhere in the city?
You know, this topic has come up quite a bit. You know, I had the pleasure at the beginning of the summer to visit Stockholm. I went to a transportation conference there where they just instituted congestion mitigation measures, and I believe they're putting it on the ballot to take the pulse of the voters. And as everyone knows, you know, London has had a congestion pricing program now for about 3 years, and I believe that Mayor Livingston is going to expand that program. You know, not every city is alike. London is very different from New York. In London, Mayor Livingston controlled transport for London. Mayor Bloomberg does not control the MTA, and Mayor Livingston was able to very quickly give back to the voters a very tangible benefit. He put £150 million into the bus network in London. And now he's putting hundreds of millions of pounds into the subway system in London. Stockholm, when you look at the population there, the population of the city of Stockholm is 700,000 plus. Well, you know, when I stop and pause and look at that, I say to myself, well, that's the size of Staten Island and maybe Bay Ridge in the city of New York. Okay. So not every city is sort of alike, and not all the conditions are the same.
That's a great New Yorker's attitude. We look at a city of 700,000 and we go, that's nice.
Well, you know, if you're going to compare things, you got to compare apples and apples and not apples and oranges.
Well, do you think that you could make a case to the MTA that there would be so much additional ridership from congestion pricing that they could offer some kind of lower fare or something like that?
Well, let me just say, today, if we were to offer congestion pricing, if we were in the city of New York, the MTA has stated publicly that they could not support all the numbers of people who would now then go on to mass transportation. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of data that we generated as a result of the transit strike. One of the most startling pieces of information for us, both before, during, and after, is, like an example, the Long Island Railroad is already at capacity. They can't add more trains because they don't have the tunnel space. So when you're thinking about a program like this, you've got to think about it comprehensively, and most importantly, you have to think about it regionally. It just doesn't affect the city of New York. It affects all the surrounding counties because you're, in a sense, in a very real sense, encouraging people to get out of their cars and use mass transportation.
Where?
And that means all forms of mass transportation. And one of the areas that I think we have to explore as a city and as a region, you know, bicycle riding is great. It's an environmentally correct method. But more ferry service in the city of New York, you know.
Let me jump in because we're just about out of time, and I want to give Noah Butnick one last word. Your top agenda items as a bicycle advocate at Transportation Alternatives.
Well, coming from this study, I'm very happy that the commissioner has drawn attention to the crash clusters and the hot spots around the city that had a very high portion of crashes. And moving forward, we hope that these are locations that the department will look at and plan improvements for.
Noah Butnick from Transportation Alternatives and New York City Transportation Commissioner Iris Weinshall, thank you both so much for coming on and talking with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute, your virtual life on SecondLife.com. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.